help us to commence with hymn 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. 906.
Thank you.
Let us read from Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Do help us now rightly to seek thee, who are not worthy to come into thy presence. And Lord, we have to come with confession of how our sins and iniquities rise up before us. Lord, they have separated between us and our God. But we pray that thy mighty arm of salvation may be stretched forth, that we may find grace in thy sight, that thou hast set thy love upon us, and therefore thou wilt bring us to the mercy seat, there to plead before thee, the person and work, that wonderful sacrifice of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, and his ascension into heaven to make intercession for his people at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, may we be received in his name. O Lord, we have nothing to bring of our own, but we have lots to confess before thee, nothing whereby we may be received, but many things whereby thou wouldst justly send us down to that where no hope can come. So we long to find thy mercy, that thou, Lord, hast put our names in that book of life, that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love from all eternity. Therefore, with loving kindness, thou hast drawn us to the mercy seat. Therefore, thou wilt speak peace and pardon through thy love and thy blood. O Lord, these are the things we have come up longing to know, and that thou wilt speak to our souls, Lord, that thou wilt not cast us away into outer darkness where no hope can come, but that thou wilt draw us and speak comfortably unto us, that thou wilt speak of the things of salvation. Peace by his cross has Jesus made, and now he sits at thy right hand to plead in our behalf. Lord, this is what we plead before thee now, and that this day we may have the seal of the Holy Ghost, that Christ is ours and we are his. We would abase ourselves before thee, but do grant us true love to thee. Turn and look upon us, Lord, and break our heart of stone. Lord, we do ask for these great things. Those who have come in, Lord, feeling to be out of the secret, no hope, cannot see their way, feeling as the blind man groping for the wall. Lord, wilt thou look upon such? Open blind eyes, Lord, thou didst do it when upon earth. Wilt thou do it again this day? May our eyes behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, that he gave his life pure and holy, undefiled. He gave his life for ours, that we might live. Oh, to know it, Lord, in our hearts, not just to know these things in our heads, but have something wrought within by the dear Holy Spirit of truth, that he may not leave our souls comfortless, but come to us and speak of the things which Christ has done. Lord, we do remember each soul before thee in all their different needs. Lord, there are many here with deep trials in providence. Lord, wilt thou make a way of escape? Wilt thou sanctify these things through which they pass? Wilt thou indeed, Lord, use these things? They seem so contrary. They seem to say we are out of the way. And like Jacob, we say all these things are against us. But Lord, wilt thou use these things in thy strange way, this mysterious way, where thou dost thy wonders perform? Wilt thou bless our souls in it? Oh, we do specially bear before thee, Lord, those who are in darkness and distress, and pray that thou wilt arise for their help, that thou wilt shine into their souls. And though there may not be for the present that deliverance in the things of providence, yet that they may know that thou art with them, will never leave them nor forsake them, that thou wilt bring them safely through, and that they may have a hope anchored within the veil, that Christ has gone before, that he understands, that he suffered for their sakes, and he will bring them to be with him to all eternity. And so, Lord, as we have read in thy holy word of thy strange ways, how thou dost bring low on account of our sins, and then grant deliverance, and thou dost grant, Lord, the heart to praise thy name for what thou hast done, so may we hear many songs of deliverance even in this place. Hear what the Lord hath done for me. We remember, Lord, our dear young people. We pray for them that thou wilt be with them and uphold them by thy Spirit. And Lord, if it may please thee to begin in their hearts while they are young in years, for thou hast said, they that seek me early shall find me. Make us each true seekers after these precious things, to know that we are born of God, that thou hast written our names in that book of life from all eternity, that thou didst covenant with thy dear Son that he should die in our place. And Lord, we pray for those who are not with us, that thou wilt remember them where they are, that it may be a true Sabbath day indeed for them, a day of rest and peace, as thou dost speak to their souls of salvation full and free through the Lamb once slain. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy word to us, that which shall be read to us today. We do pray, Lord, that it may be thy purpose to come and speak through that word to our souls. And may we each be given a hearing ear and an understanding heart. We pray also for the one we hope to hear this evening, that thou wilt bring him safely here, that thou wilt grant him a message from thee to bring before us. May it enter into our souls as that arrow which sticketh fast. May it be as good seed cast into good ground, which shall take root downward and bring forth fruit upward. And Lord, may all the praise and all the glory be to thy holy name. We pray for the prosperity of Zion in this place and in our nation and in the world. Lord, things are very low. So often we have to say, we see not our signs, but we do see the signs of the approaching end of all things. And oh, we do pray that thy Spirit will work among us as a church and among the churches in the land, that there may be a true spirit of prayer, that thy Spirit may work in the hearts of many, that they may be quickened into life, that they may receive grace, that they may come as poor, undone sinners to thy footstool, there to plead for mercy and receive that forgiveness which flows from Calvary. And Lord, may we be enabled to bear before thee our nation. May there be that seed in this land, that remnant, according to the election of grace, which may plead in behalf of our nation, in behalf of our rulers, that thou wilt turn the tide of wickedness and evil laws, that thou wilt put in the heart of our sovereign a desire to walk in thy ways and to command that her ministers enact good and righteous laws. Lord, what mourning we have on account of these things, and how little we are stirred up on account of them. Lord, sin runs down our streets, and so often we become so used to it, we hardly notice, but it is a great offence to thee. Oh, grant us, Lord, a tender and a contrite heart that trembles at thy word, that trembles at the approach of sin, and that mourns on account of all our departings from thee, and yet cries unto thee, work, Lord, and who shall let it? So we pray, Lord, now, help our brother in the remaining part of this service. Do it enable him to speak forth that which has been preached before time, and do grant the Holy Spirit's unction and savour in our hearts. Lord, do bless him also as he reads. We thank thee for every mercy in providence and in grace, but oh, we look for more. Arise, Lord, for our help, for nothing is impossible with thee. Oh, may we have faith in the God who can work impossibility, and plead that thou wilt do these things for thy great name's sake. We confess our unworthiness before thee, Lord, but thou hast been our helper in times past. There are many crooks in the law, many crooked things which we long to see made straight. There are iron bars and brazen gates. Oh, that we may be brought forth into that place of liberty and praise thy name for the goodness which thou hast shown unto us. We ask these things not for our sakes, but for Jesus' sake alone, for there is all our hope. Amen.
Hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense, I to thy mercy seek repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. 942. Thank you. will try to read you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham, and you will find the text in the chapter we read and the last verse, Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 43. To confine ourselves this morning to this psalm, we may regard it as setting out the whole life pilgrimage. Sins, shortcomings, troubles, adversities, prayer, answers to prayer, and exhortations to praise God. The different ways in which the Church of the Living God walk. The painful outbreaks of sin, the sin lodging in their nature, the merciful, though often severe, chastisement of God which their sin calls for and brings to them. The earnest cry born of trouble and of the Spirit. These things are very beautifully set out in this psalm. The various gradients, stages of experience also we have here. In the first stanza or first 9 verses of this psalm, one might take it to set forth the beginning, the simplicity of the child of God called by that invincible call, the Holy Ghost working mightily in their hearts. And in these first verses we have no word concerning backsliding or anything of that kind. They are full of zeal. They are called away from the world. They are brought into trouble. They lose their home, so to speak. They have to leave it. As Pilgrim left the city of destruction, so these called ones have to leave, and did leave, their city. They came into the wilderness. They found no way there. No way back and no way forward, shut up in the wilderness. Is not that what some of us have experienced? Some many years ago, perhaps, some more recently. No way. Perplexity. Trouble. Loss of all things as to real value. They cry. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Must do, and they are taught to do it. The Holy Spirit is in them, though they may not think it. Because perhaps if you had told them he had made them his temple, they would not have believed you. But so it was with these people. So it is today. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Well now, if some of you who are young in the ways of God are put to it to examine yourselves by not looking at yourselves simply, but by considering your state in the light of these verses, you will realize that though you were once an inhabitant of the city of destruction, you have had to flee from it. You have had to flee from it, although you did not know where to go. Do not now perhaps know where to go. Of the wickedness of your heart, the corruptions of your nature, you have some knowledge. What do you do? Let honest conscience answer. If it answers, this is what you will be saying. I cry to God. I go to the throne of grace, or try to get there. I pour out my heart to God. I tell him I'm a lost soul. I tell him that I have not one little bit of hope now in myself, nor any help in myself. I am brought to despair of self and in self. Not a bad place, you say, but most uncomfortable. True. But there is much discomfort in true religion. An eternity of happiness awaits the saints. But here, they have to prove, in the beginning and throughout, Christ's word. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Judge yourselves as you may be enabled by this great word of God. They wandered in the wilderness, no rest. Conscience has no rest. The affections have no rest, know not on whom to place them. Your heart has no rest, no centre. Then faith. You would not think it faith, perhaps you do not now. But faith cries unto God, Lord, save, or I perish. That is what is brought to pass in the experience of poor people in their beginning. Later in this psalm, we find these pilgrims rebelling. They have had hope. They have had deliverance. They have had food filling them, satisfying them. And after a time, the affections which were set on God wander, and the heart that was wholly his is divided. The throne on which the sinner asked him to condescend to come and sit as king, you give something or somebody else a place. So throughout, changes, sins, chastisements, deserved, merciful. And the text says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, the things of this psalm, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. First, a little of this wisdom. Whoso is wise, watchful, careful, does not want to let anything slip away from him, enters into that which is in the Hebrews. We ought therefore to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. The Spirit is heedful. What has God done? You would fain remember it. What has he said to you? You would fain think of it, as to its bearing, its influence on your spirit, what it did for you, what it brought to you, how careful it made you, whoso. How many Christians hear of this wisdom? You may have years and years to go back. You may go back to places where you were left to browbeat your conscience to do something you knew was not right in the sight of God, though perhaps not guilty among men. You slipped away from prayer, from the scriptures as to a prayerful reading of them. Then came trouble. Perhaps rebuke spoken with living power on your conscience, setting before you how you have gone away from God. Then came a trouble. God left you to be in a dry place, nothing to refresh you, no living water to quench the thirst that now you felt, no bread of life to appease your appetite that now was gone. You found trouble. I found, said the psalmist in another place, trouble and sorrow. So people find who turn away and slip away from God. These things. There will be two things prominent if you are wise, two things prominent in your observation. The first, your unwise and base returns to God for his undeserved mercy. You did not deserve it when he came to you in the operations of his Spirit and washed you with the washing of regeneration. You did not deserve to be turned away and brought out of the city of destruction. No, but by the observation that now you are unable to make, you are brought to say, oh, how base have been my returns, how wicked my behaviour toward God. Then you say, he has chastened me. You will see more love in the chastening than ever an unbelieving heart will allow. Oh, the pains God has taken with some of us. The kindness of God in hedging up our way, perhaps with thorns. And yet, so bent on evil and mischief is the heart that it breaks through a hedge of thorns. Then says God, I will build a wall of hewn stone around her, that she shall not find her paths. God fixes people when he chastens them. He will have them come back. He loves them, so he won't let them destroy themselves. And so he hedges up their way, builds walls of hewn stones. Now that is a great wonder, one of the wonders of God in his church, that he does chasten. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Every son he receives, he chastens, lays the rod on them. A good old woman at Leicester who died many years ago said, speaking of the birch which God had laid on her, I bless him for every twig, and you will bless him for every twig of the birch that he lays on you. The rod is for the back of the fool. The stocks are for the feet of wanderers. If you are wise, you will observe these things. Next, you will observe this, that there arose in your chastened heart a prayer, an astonishment perhaps that was to you, an astonishment to hear the Lord say in your heart, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, now take with you words and turn again to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. That prayer, thus dictated and indicted, gets an answer. I will heal their backslidings. He does it. He delivers them from their destructions. Sin has destroyed their comforts and threatens to destroy their souls. The devil has destroyed all their steadfastness and threatened to drive them into perdition. Now it is written, he delivered them from their distresses. He delivered them from their destructions. The cry is a mighty cry that the Spirit of God enables them to send to heaven. Then we find this also to be observed, that the healing comes. He sent his word and healed them. The healing is by the atonement applied to their hearts by the Spirit. It is a healing of the conscience, a sweet healing that, when the guilt of backsliding is heavier and more bitter than all the sins that have procured that guilt, it is a great thing to have the blood of Christ on your conscience. It is here in this blessed book, but everyone taught of the Spirit wants to have it also on his conscience. To observe these things is to watch them. Let us look at this for a minute. Whoso will watch, watch several things. First, the goings of God in his sanctuary, the goings of the Spirit in your hearts, those convictions, those cries, those sighs, those unuttered, unutterable prayers, groanings which cannot be uttered. Observe these things. They are to be observed. Oh, they are worthy of all the close attention we may be able to give to them. Every sigh that you sigh toward God, that you may possess him, every glance of faith that is directed by the Spirit to the cross of Christ, every humble confession you are enabled to make of your sins and base treatment of your best friend. Watch these things. You will find that they always will lead you to the throne of grace. They will direct your eyes and your heart and your hungry soul to the Lord of life and glory, and to cry mightily for the bread of life which shall nourish your faith. Observe the effect of chastening. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? When the rod makes your back sore, when the rebuke pierces your conscience, When the frown that you feel is on the face of God toward you affects you, when you say, "Oh, I deserve this and hell afterward," and yet find your heart crying, "Lord, be gracious to me," watch this. It is God's kindness. See the effect of chastening. As blessed, you do not rebel. As weak, you may sink very much in your heart, but as chastened, and the chastening is blessed, then you move Godward. See how it separates you from yourself, how it turns you away from things you indulged, the sins you loved. See how it moves you toward God in a way that during your backsliding you knew nothing about. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. What is it to despise God's chastening? To take no notice of it, not to be affected well by it. The fire may burn Jacob, but Jacob may not know what it is. He knows something is wrong, but does not know who kindles the fire. That, in your case, is to despise God's chastening. You may even philosophize about it. You may say of some chastening, some external trouble, "Yea, other people have trouble, and why should not I have it?" That is despising it. This is the best. Hear the rod, and who has appointed it? And the honest conscience says, "Lord, enable me to listen to this rod and what it has to say to me. The rebuke, the reproof, the instruction. Enable me to hear all these. Whoso is wise in this." Then also observe how God has dealt with you. He has said, after a time of chastening, "It is enough." He stops it. The punished child repents. The offended father relents, turns with double love, kisses the prodigal, welcomes him home. This is to be observed. There are several things in this which it is well for us if we can observe. Namely, first, the sweet attraction to God. There is in him an attraction that you had no notice of, no inkling of it, while you were in a backsliding state. Now you see that there is mercy, bowels of mercy, tender compassion, great goodness, infinite fullness and faithfulness that reach unto the clouds. Faith looks at these things. Observe them, my friends. You who have had this may now be having these experiences. Observe this. God appears now to be kind, where before he seemed to be severe and unkind. Observe the healing. This is wonderful. I will heal their backslidings. Their cry has been, "Heal me, O Lord, for I have sinned. Heal the bones which thou hast broken." And now the healing is given. The smile on God's face turns the winter into summer. The motions of love and of the Spirit of God bring poor sinners to his blessed footstool, and instead of frowning them away, he welcomes them and he comforts them. Now they know that there is comfort in love, that there is fellowship in the Spirit. They observe these things. Now you who are really true children of the living God, who have had some experience of the various things in this psalm and have had the healing, the loving kindness of the Lord, have you not found this, that it has been profitable to you to observe, to watch? Must not some of us confess that the lack of watchfulness, of observation, has brought loss to us? I have lost much for lack of observation. What is the result of observing these things? Even they who thus do shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. What is this understanding but a gracious experience of what the Lord has done? They shall understand that he is better than all their fears, and more than that, I have said more than once, better than all one's expectation. Your expectation will never reach the height of God's loving kindness. That is infinite. Expectation may be more or less strong in you. To understand it is to be sweetly led into the knowledge of God, to grow in the knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is to realize that the blood of Christ has infinite value and efficacy, that no sin and no fear and no guilt can ever outdo or overcome the precious blood of Christ. Now have you entered into this? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let me name it in two things briefly. First, how that the Holy Spirit has been poured upon you like a shower, as floods upon the dry ground, and filled your barren heart with fruitfulness. And then secondly, providence. Better, oh better, than all the fears. The feared destruction has not come. God has been so good, so kind in providence. He has restored the waste places, brought deliverances where none was expected. Job, at the end of his trial, had twice as much as before that came upon him. Now, as the good old Puritan ministers, called the painful ministers, would say, now for the application. If you understand the loving kindness of the Lord, you have found this, an establishment in your souls as to your standing with God. We have this in another psalm a little further on. I hope that I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. There is a real establishment in the heart. It is an establishment not with meats and drinks, but with grace, which is good. It is good for the heart to be established, not with meats and drinks which should not profit them, which have been exercised therein, but with the grace of God. Have you found that you are not quite as ready now to doubt your interest as you were before the chastening and the healing? You are not as ready now to say he has gone forever as you used to be. You can follow Erskine. Say not he has gone forever, though his visits he adjourned. You hold fast. You feel you have got a friend in heaven, whatever happens to you. There is an establishment. Secondly, is there not also an enlargement of love, an excitement in your heart of love to the Lord? He has done so much for you these years, so often delivered you, so often broken your heart, so often said, fear not, I am with thee. Yea, he has said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I, the Lord thy God, am with thee. And you may not now as formerly confine his presence to the sensation of it. You are enabled to believe, though you do not feel his presence, that he is still with you. That is a great thing, and I say, as an application of the whole text, the subject, it is one of the results of observing the loving kindness of the Lord. And next, is there not an obedience to this word? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You say, he found me in a barren land. I dwelt in a dry land because of my rebellion, and he came to me. Now I will bless him while I live. I will sing his high praises for his great goodness to one so utterly unworthy. Let us praise the Lord, dear friends, for his great kindness, his loving kindness. When we rebelled against his words, he forgave our sin and comforted us with love. Lastly, is not one thing to be said concerning the result of this experience, that the heart is more fully set toward heaven. Some things we set our affections on, and by reason of which we become hardened backsliders. God has taken away the beauty of them, the attraction of them in some degree. At times we have said, let worldly minds the world pursue, it hath no charms for me. God, righteousness, justification, forgiveness, with all the blessings of the gospel, these are what the soul now is after more than before. Even as Christ set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, so his people through grace set their faces steadfastly, more steadfastly as the result of chastening and of healing than before. Take heed, dear friends, how you do and deal with God. Take heed lest your hearts be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Take heed to the awful effect of becoming prayerless and walking disorderly in your heart, though you may walk orderly enough outwardly. Take heed as to your affections, where they are placed. If you do, then you will find this, that although God will chasten, does chasten, yet he turns again with double love and says, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord, and they shall take it as a foretaste of heaven, whither their hearts are bent to go. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £920, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jim Ince will preach this evening, Mr. Robert Field on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day, and the friends at Oakington hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 715. When the blessed day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost descended from above, sent by the Father and the Son, to bring immortal blessings down and shed abroad God's love. Hymn 715.
him this afternoon. Oh, may there be something to my honour and the marvel I serve and expect of this soul. Oh, may it be one of my divine efforts. Oh, do give him that. Bring with us. Lord, may he be thy messenger with thy mess. Oh, do grant us hearing. We may not be hearers and doers of it. O Lord, do grant that we may be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. O do keep us, Lord, from our many distractions. O into the world, Lord, do grant that our minds may be to them and to thy word. O Lord, do be with us as we do grant my best. Oh, that this may be a day to remember. We will ask, seeking the forgiveness of our every sin, for Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion